What's up?
Welcome.
Welcome to
Twin Peaks.
Dan.
Rob.
Call for help.
Hello.
Part three of The Return. Things are heating up. Things are really heating up. What else can you say?
I like this episode a lot. It's very strange and shows some really, what I think, are horrific and terrifying things.
Casino in the South Dakota?
Yep. That's very scary to me.
Yep. A cul-de-sac in South Dakota, also where... people live in empty, like, builder grade furnished houses.
Are they in South Dakota? I thought they were in Vegas, but you could be right.
It's not Vegas. I might be wrong about where it is, but I do remember Gordon saying he says we're going to the Black Hills.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, yeah. But that's something else.
Well, that's no, I thought that was to go to
that's
Cooper.
It is to go to Cooper, but that's
Cooper's
because Cooper has been arrested for driving his car off the road, and we'll get there.
Oh, okay. So maybe he's in Vegas then.
I think. We'll explain what the hell we're talking about here.
I don't want to.
Well, now I don't want to.
Yeah. What's my problem, huh?
No, I get it. I mean, like, they don't make it clear. I think it only becomes clear later in the next episode because they don't that. And I think that's the point when they do that is like they found Cooper and like we got to go get him.
Oh, they got me. They got me ass.
Yeah, they got your fucking ass.
Speaking of me ass. Did you hear Donald Trump talk about the Civil War? The battle of Gettysburg.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It was horrific. It was horrific,
but also quite beautiful. Very beautiful in so many ways. The way he has to hedge on everything, as though someone out there might be like, "Oh, I think the Civil War is beautiful."
I mean,
he's the best to ever do it, and by it do it, I mean. Yeah. Be a craven lunatic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Me boys.
Yeah, is there anybody in the history of, like...
humanity?
Yeah, that's more craven. Craven is the perfect word. Mm.
And no. I mean, I guess his sycophants, probably, but...
yeah, I guess.
But anyway, Silver Mustang Casino is in Las Vegas.
Ah, the Vegas.
Speaking of casinos, huh? And people who go to and own them.
Uh-huh.
Right? And we're back.
And we're back.
We've gone through the electrical socket of talking about Donald Trump, and we are back in Las Vegas.
Gettysburg is...
don't fight uphill, me boys. And he said, wow, that was a mistake.
Wow, what a mistake.
Wow. Anyway,
so dumb. All right.
There's so much crazy shit going on here, especially in the first day. I do love the contrast of like this other dimension where we start out.
Yeah.
And then just like sun bleached American, you know, Southwest West.
Just desert. No trees anywhere. It's just like open and just, sun bleached. Yeah.
Two sides of the same coin, you might even say.
Ah.
Just vast voids of nothingness, but also ghosts and spirits.
Yeah. This episode picks up right where the last one left off, with Cooper falling through space.
To say where it left off. He's falling through space, possibly shot on an iPhone. Did we ever get confirmation on that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, you know, he's the way it's shot, just got to give it up again. It's so funny. He's literally just standing there with his arms up and the camera is shaking around him. And yeah, he's falling through like a void of looks like stars a bit.
Yeah, there's like, I think there's some stars.
And eventually he lands.
Yes.
In like a concrete stairwell.
Yeah, it's like this concrete structure looking out over this purple ocean. And this is the part, this is the stuff that I find really sort of terrifying.
Just the like total loss of place and time.
Yes. Just it's just so I find that so upsetting to have like, oh, we're in a different dimension, but this dimension also has concrete structures and an ocean, but it's purple. And when you go inside this room, it's all like, you know, like the timing of the shutter speed on the camera is all, it's all shoddy and glitchy. I don't care for that either.
Mm. It's what an act of imagination to imagine other shutter speeds.
Ugh. No, thank you.
So yeah, he looks at this ocean for a while. If I'm Cooper, I probably just stay looking at that ocean till I die. It's very, I found it quite peaceful. I wasn't terrified.
I mean, it is beautiful, but also where are we here? What are we doing?
Who cares? Just enjoy the view, baby.
Yeah. But he can't enjoy the view. He goes inside.
Mm. I guess that's also troubling, right? Once he goes in and then they go out a different, you know, doorway, they're in space.
Yes.
Huh. So, yes, he goes in this room and there's a it's kind of nice. There's a fireplace.
Oh, yeah. There are a couple candles going and there's a lady.
A lady with no eyes. Oh, okay.
So yeah, just looking around the room. Very nice. No eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Right.
But she seems nice, doesn't she?
She does seem nice. Yeah. Seems helpful. She tries to talk to Cooper, but all of her words are silenced.
Cooper does ask, "Where are we?"
Yeah.
In that stilted way he's asking that.
Yeah. And I'm always happy when Cooper asks a question that we all want to know.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like maybe one of the, you know, silly nonsense questions that maybe come up.
Yeah, or someone says something that makes no sense and he goes, "I understand." Yeah, I completely understand.
Say no, stop right there. Explain nothing else, please.
But yeah, in his defense, you know, you spend 25 years in the Black Lodge, you start speaking you pick up some phrases.
Yeah, you've heard it all.
Got to learn how to order a coffee that turns to sludge.
So yes, he's in this place and this woman, she is trying to communicate with him. Nothing is coming out. And then they start hearing a banging on this metal door.
Sorry, that's my mom.
And yeah, the woman with no eyes, she puts her finger to her mouth like, "Shh, don't say anything." And then Cooper gets up and
he's like drawn to this looks like a big circuit or something in
I mean, it looks like a giant outlet, right? Like a two-pronged electrical outlet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's making electricity noises.
Yeah. And it's got a big number 3 on it. He starts walking.
First,
doesn't it? Oh, it doesn't.
First, it has a number 15 on it.
Oh, excuse me. I feel like a fucking idiot.
And then only after they turn off the power or whatever, does it have the number 3, which of course means I don't know.
So the 3 made a little more sense. Because, like, so, I don't know about 15. I don't know nothing about 15.
Okay.
But, right, so he starts walking toward it, and again, she's like, "Don't do that. Don't go near it," or whatever. And at a certain point, she holds up her watch to him, and it says 2:57.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see 3, I assume at 3 o'clock, this
we're
opens
3 minutes
up.
To whatever. Oh,
3 minutes to transfer season.
Yeah, yeah. It's possible.
So, yeah, she walks him out to, you know, the banging gets louder and louder. She walks him onto the roof, which again reveals that we are on like a tiny little speck floating through this vast cosmic void. Really makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah, they open this hatch to the roof and they walk out, and when they're standing on just this metal box, right? And it's got this big, looks like a bell kind of with a switch on it.
Yeah.
And
big metal thing.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of space on this, the roof here. So this
Cooper is hanging on to what kind of looks like a little radio tower or something. Yeah. Like a little section of radio tower. But yeah, she flips that switch.
Yeah.
And the thing she's holding gets electrified.
Yes.
She goes, bzzz. And then she goes falling into the tumbling through the vastness of space.
Yes.
Bummer. Oh, but who's that? Who's that big head floating by?
Oh, yeah.
Can't forget that.
Nope, you're right. And then a big head floats by. And, of course, it belongs to Major Garland Briggs. Mm-hmm. And he says,
please.
Blue Rose.
All right.
Did we talk about the blue? I know we kind of talked about Blue Rose before, but did we get into it?
Well, just to say that these are like, they're sort of like, it seems like they're the X-Files of the show. I guess we didn't get into it because I'm saying things like it seems like.
No, you're right that it is sort of like the X-Files of this universe or whatever. The history, I think this comes up in maybe one of the books. It fills out the backstory there. But let's see. They were following up on a case in the 80s. It's Cole and Jeffries. And there's like a woman with a blue rose. And she's like the murder victim, and then she disappears. Like the body disappears while they're like there watching it. And I think that's where, you know, the term Blue Rose comes from.
Okay.
So, yes. So now that this switch has been flipped, Cooper climbs back down into the room, and there's another woman in the room there now, sitting on the couch.
She's got not one, but two eyes.
She does have two eyes. And she is Ronette Pulaski. Cooper doesn't recognize her as Ronette. And it's not clear, like, if it's actually her or like some sort of a, you know, alter dimension version of her or whatever. But
yeah,
the banging on the door keeps going. And this woman says,
that's what she holds the watch up at this point.
Yeah. She holds the watch up. Yeah.
It's a few minutes to three. Uh-huh. And the thing on the wall starts humming up. It's getting, something's about to happen.
Yes. Ronette says, when you get there, you will already be there.
Mm.
And then she says, you have to hurry. My mother is coming. So Cooper starts like making his way towards this electrical outlet and it starts like sucking him up into it.
Yes.
And he goes like fully horizontal. And he's like being slow fed.
It's like when you get Jumanji'd.
Yeah, you're basically getting Jumanji'd. You Jumanji guy, have you seen Jumanji 4 Game Over, fuckheads?
I think I did see the first reboot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, first little reboot there.
With four of the best actors known to cinema, The Rock.
A favorite of this program, in fact, in the mix.
Karen Gillan.
Jack Black and Kevin Hart. Yeah. What if we had two hyperactive men in our main cast?
Yes.
They could play off each other.
Yeah, they could play off each other.
It's fine. It's like a movie for children.
It's a movie for children. Most movies are just movies for children.
These days. Yeah. How about an adult drama with like Catherine Keener?
What if we took anything seriously?
Gone are the days of taking things way too seriously. No one wants to get caught doing that.
It's true. So Cooper gets sucked up into this thing in the real world. At the same time, we see Mr. C driving his Lincoln,
looking worse for wear.
Yeah, looking just sweaty as hell. So tan.
Talk about don't fight uphill, me boys. He's really, really evoking that here. He's becoming like physically ill, and he keeps, I forget if he's looking at it or we just keep cutting to the electrical socket, like the cigarette lighter in the car.
Yeah.
Something's going on there. It's glowing. And as we know, Mr. C, he's trying to outrun the Black Lodge. He's supposed to go back.
Yep.
Today.
So all this, you know, the electricity from the cigarette lighter, we can hear that buzzing. Mr. C starts like getting like he can't see straight and he starts swerving on the road. Then he covers his mouth. Then he ends up running the car over the road, off the road, flipping it and flipping back onto its, you know, wheels or whatever. And while he's sitting there in the car, He's like got his hands over his mouth and he's trying to hold back, and then he can't anymore and he just starts vomiting up Garmin Boja.
Yep, blood and Boja and bile. It's the three B's.
Yeah.
And then at the same time that this is happening.
Yes.
What do you say we pop over to Dougie's house? I love Dougie.
I'm glad you love Dougie.
I love Dougie's hair. I love that he's got the Argentinian dictator guy haircut. I won't cast dispersions here.
No, but you're right. You're right.
The libertarian Millier or whatever his name is. Yeah. The haircut where it always looks like the wig's on wrong by like 90 degrees.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah. It's like, it's very like 1970s with like the sideburns and whatever, but also got that big like comb that like part in the hair, but it's like big, sort of like blown out a little bit, you know?
Yeah. It's like human Lego hair.
It is like human
Lego. It's kind of snapped on there.
Yeah.
But we go to Dougie Jones, who we now know is in the suburbs of Las Vegas.
Yes. So
we now know that thanks to you, not we, the audience, me, the audience.
And yes, he's there with a sex worker, Jade, and they have just completed their transaction. And this seems
I like Jade a lot here.
Oh,
I
think, yeah, me too.
Like being as nice as possible within like the limits of her life.
Yeah.
Is like... It's really nice. Like she's really going out of her way to help this guy until she just cannot anymore.
Yeah, so she's,
you know,
like,
it's nice.
Get out of the car.
Get out of the car. Don't tell them you were with me.
Right.
Bye, bye, Dougie.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, they finish up their business. Jade goes to grab a shower, and
she says to Dougie, "What happened to your arm?" And he says, "I don't know. It fell asleep. It's all tingly."
Yes, and we see Dougie's arm, don't we? And what's on that hand on Dougie's arm?
It's one of those green rings that we are familiar with from Firewalk with Me.
Yes. So at the same time as Mr. C is puking and fucking up his car, Dougie also puking and having a hard day.
Yeah.
He sort of like collapses and is like trying to drag himself to the bathroom to like get help from Jade.
Yep.
Can't do it. Ends up in the living room where he pukes up a small pile of Boja and blood and bile, the three B's. And he goes fully out. And as that happens, he disappears. And Agent Dale Cooper de-jumanges from the light switch in that room. The light socket, rather.
Yeah. Yep. And Dougie gets sent back to the Black Lodge, where he sits in a chair. Mike is in the room and he says, "Where am I?" And then Mike tells him that he was manufactured for a purpose and that purpose has been fulfilled. And Dougie starts shrinking.
His hand shrinks until the ring falls off.
Yep.
And then something happens to his head.
It just disappears and turns into smoke.
Yep. Like a black cloud.
Yep.
And then there's a little gold orb emerges.
Yes. He turns into a little gold orb and then like a little marble, basically.
Yeah. The way I'm going to read it from the wiki, because it seems like there's more going on here than I.
OK.
Maybe. So according to the Twin Peaks wiki.
Yes.
First of all, Mike sees all this coming and shields his eyes as there's like a flash of light as the orb appears also.
Yep.
But it says the object starts to produce an orb of its own as electrical sounds are heard. Suddenly the clean gold orb appears and seems to attack the head shaped object.
Mm.
That part I didn't really track.
Yeah, me either.
That could just be, this is not the Bible.
Yeah. This is just,
this is a website.
Yeah. And the Bible is not a website. It's a book.
Yeah. It's the original website. Say, kids, you know, websites are pretty cool, but you know what they say is the original website, right? The Quran.
Okay.
Yeah. So Mike takes the orb and the ring, puts the ring back on its pedestal, and I guess keeps the orb for himself, a little sum from, some for Mike.
Yeah, Mike's got to get a taste here.
All right. Yeah. Skim a little cream off the top. You know what I mean? What do you make of this? What's that orb?
I don't know exactly what the orb is. I know what Dougie. I think Dougie is a tulpa, right?
And totally
right.
I'm glad you said it. What's a tulpa?
A tulpa. Of course, I did not know this. I had to look this up. A tulpa is a concept. I'm reading from the wiki. A concept originally from
the tulpa wiki.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the Tibetan Buddhism, and it's found in later traditions of mysticism and paranormal, of a materialized being or thought form, typically in a human form, that is created through spiritual practice and intense concentration.
Oh, so we can assume the doppelganger tricked the lodge or tricked whatever Cooper did.
Yeah, it seems like Dougie was maybe made by... They might tell us who Dougie was made by at a later date, and I could be wrong in what I'm saying right now, and I will be changing it when I find out. But Dougie is made as like a placeholder for Cooper, and it seems like he was made by Mr. C kind of as a last case scenario or like a emergency scenario where once Cooper comes through, right, and replaces Dougie, Jade comes in and she's like, "All right, well, we got to get out of this house, Dougie." And we find the house that they're in is like an empty house. It's being sold. It's like a fucking
Yeah, we're in like a new development where it seems like people are also like squatting, maybe.
Yes. Yes.
Or yes. Yeah. Okay.
So when they leave, Jade's like, where are your keys? He doesn't have them. The only key he has on him is in his pocket, and it's for his room at the Great Northern.
Yeah. I do like also when she first sees him and she's like, Dougie, that suit and your hair. You don't look like a total dweeb anymore.
Yeah. You don't look like a dweeb. The dweeb you looked like 5 minutes ago.
I guess you threw up and then changed all your clothes and your hair. All right. So yeah.
But when Jade is driving him away, right, there are those two guys that are set up to shoot him, right? Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they're placed there by Mr. C. So I think the whole idea is that, like, Mr. C.
He's going to kill the real Cooper and, like, affirm his place in this reality.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what Dougie is. Dougie's a tulpa. When he goes back to the Black Lodge, he goes back to being nothing, which he was before. And I think that gold orb or whatever, the thing that's left, like the marble itself, is just sort of like the seed of a tulpa, perhaps.
Right, right. So it's like using the wiki definition, it's like the mental energy that attaches to the material thing. Cool. Right. Very cool. No further questions.
Totally understand it.
Yep.
Got it. So, right. Like I said, like when they're leaving, there are two guys that are set up there to shoot Cooper. And the one guy is set up kind of outside the house. He's like, all right, they're leaving now. It looks like there are two people in the car, but I can't tell. Dougie's car is still at the house. He's like, and then the other guy, like kind of towards the entrance or whatever, he's like, all right, well, if he's in the car, I'll get him.
Yeah.
And
the guy at the house, I do want to say,
yeah,
puts like a tracker on the underside of the car.
Oh, that's not a tracker.
Oh, it's a bomb?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Also, but whenever someone sticks something magnetic on the bottom of a car like that, it always makes the best sound.
Oh, yeah.
That like, boom.
Yeah, it's like, so right.
It's like, yeah, it's so muffled and heavy because like the magnet, I guess, has to be very strong.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
No, you're right. That is
great. That's a good sound. One. Yeah.
So as they're driving.
Also, that's the point at which we see in the other house. It's like, this like little kid is watching all this out the window and his mom is in the other room doing drugs and saying 119.
Yes.
119, which is 911 backwards. I noticed. I don't know if you noticed that. Probably too busy reading about tulpas to.
Yeah, it is. That is 119. Is backwards talk. Hey, a lot of people doing backwards talk on this show, huh?
Yeah, but in this plane of existence?
What?
Okay.
Yeah, I saw, it was probably on the wiki also, that Mark Frost said, in reference to this woman or whatever, he said that, some people have a foot in both worlds, and, we know that people in the other world, they speak backwards, and... Mm. So one.
So it's like her. One. It's like her, Freddy.
Yeah.
From Freddy Got Fingered.
Right.
Yeah. Backwards man.
Uh huh.
But yeah, I mean, saying, that makes sense. That
she's saying 119, and the title of this episode is "Call for Help," and Dougie says it. Well, Cooper, as Dougie says it several times later. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this lady having a foot in both worlds thing, I'd like to note. It does seem like, like Laura being another example here. It's like, mm-hmm. First of all, tends to cause people a great deal of pain. And then there's also a lot of substance use that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just something I noticed.
Yeah.
Sure, I don't know what a tulpa is or where well, the you show know is now. Taking place. But... As soon as we leave Twin Peaks, I'm totally lost.
That there's nothing missing here at all.
Me AF. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So.
Yes. Let's go back. Let's talk about Twin Peaks since we're talking about Twin Peaks.
Sure. Let's see what, should we talk about Twin Peaks or should we take a break and then talk about Twin Peaks?
Oh, all right.
Uh-oh.
Guys, we're going to take a break. If you want to continue listening to the episode, head on over to patreon.com/kingmepod. Sign up for $5 a month. You get one free week. And then you can decide if you want to stick around and pay that $5 a month. So
we almost said one free month. That was close. It was like it's like taking your hand off the chess piece after you make a move that locks it in.
I know.
Got to honor that.
I couldn't edit that part out. I have to leave it because I don't like editing. So I don't want to do it.
All right. Yeah. Join us over at the Green Lodge and we'll talk about what Andy and Lucy and most importantly Hawk are up to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye. For now. For a second.